Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garland.
Keep on making a way for me. Opening doors for me. you remain standing. Certainly want to commend both our youth choir director and our youth choir, our adult choir director and our adult choir, and our musicians. Let's thank God for them today. Amen. Hallelujah. In the book of 1 Samuel. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. We pray, God, that you will speak a word into the hearts and minds of your people. We thank you, God, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. For this we thank you. For this we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I want to ask those who are watching us by way of Facebook Live, if you will, amen, like and share. We want you to feel like you're a part of the worship experience. Amen. And you're not in the house to clap, but you can hit the like button or the heart button. Amen. You're not in the house to say amen, but you can say it in the comment section on Facebook Live. You're not in the house to give, but you can do it on Givelify. Amen. And we certainly thank God for all who watch by way of Facebook Live. 1 Samuel chapter 18, we're going to talk for just a few moments from this subject, how to deal with jealous people. Now I know some of you, this, you know, don't mean nothing, but there are a few of us who have had to contend with. We've had to deal with some jealous-hearted folk. Amen? 1 Samuel chapter 18, and we're going to look at verses 8, 9, and 14. All right? Verses 8, 9, and 14. Verse 8, this made Saul very angry. What's this, he said. They credit David with 10,000s and me with only thousands. Next, they'll be making him their king. Yes, so from that time on, let me hear everybody say, from that time on, yes, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. And then verse 14, it says, David, let's all read it together. I want it to get in your spirit. Verse 14, David. All right, that's all the different versions read together. Amen. It says in the version I'm reading from, David continued to succeed in everything he did, for the Lord was with him. Yeah. Hallelujah. If you know you got God with you, you should be shouting all over this place right now if you know God is with you. Amen. Father, we pray that you will bless us now through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In the presence of the Lord. First of all, thank you, ushers. Thank you. How to deal with jealous people. Amen. Amen. First of all, to be jealous of someone is to be intolerant and hostile toward a person who is perceived to be a threat or a rival to one's position or authority. A jealous spirit stems from holding too high of an opinion of oneself. The jealous person feels like no one else should be able to do what they do. The jealous person feels that no one else has the right to do what they can do. Instead of admiring the capabilities, the competence, the excellence, or the talents of another, the jealous person views these qualities as a challenge to who they are. That's the first thing we need to understand about a jealous type person. Secondly, a jealous spirit reveals a flaw in one's character. It's an admission of one's feeling of inadequacy. It's a way of defending ourselves against the reality that someone may be better at something than we are. When we behave jealously toward another's accomplishments, we're actually showing our inability to deal with the truth. Tell your neighbor, you got to deal with the truth of the matter. One likes to think of himself, amen, as not measuring up to someone else. No one likes to think that way. We all want to feel like we are as good or better than everybody else. But is there anybody here today who has lived long enough and you're willing to admit that in this life, you're going to run into some folk who can say it better, who can do it better, who can dance better, who can walk better, who can dress. That is just a reality of life with 4 or 5 billion people on planet Earth. You would be a fool to think that you're the only one that can do it. Do I have a witness this morning? But rather than accept that reality, the one who is controlled by a spirit of jealousy will feed his feelings of inadequacy through displays of anger and resentment toward what another has achieved. A third thing about jealousy is that jealousy is often the result of our frustration at wasted opportunities. Let me hear you say wasted opportunities. Wasted. Amen. Amen. People who have wasted their opportunities often can't accept the fact that another person didn't make the same mistake that you made. And the jealous person will do all that they can to deny the other person an opportunity to succeed where he or she has failed. It's that kind of attitude that gives birth to stumbling blocks. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about when I say stumbling blocks. There are folk who will put stumbling blocks in your way on your job. There are folks who will put stumbling blocks in your way in your service to God. There are folk who will try to put stumbling blocks in your way because they are jealous of you and they don't want you to succeed. I need somebody to talk back to me this morning and say, hey, just raise your hand if you've ever experience those kind of folk who have put stumbling blocks in your way because they wanted to mess you up. They wanted to throw you off course. They wanted to keep you from doing what God called you to do. Amen. 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 It's that kind of attitude that gives birth to these stumbling blocks. You may have tried something. You may have tried to do something positive. You may have labored long and hard to bring something to fruition, and for whatever reason, you didn't achieve your goal. Perhaps it had to do with your job. Maybe you set certain career goals for yourself, but you wasted your opportunities and fell short of your goal. And now you've made up in your mind that if you can't succeed at it, then no one will succeed at it. And you're doing all that you can to mess up the program. Maybe it had something to do with your personal life. Maybe you came from a negative family situation. Perhaps you weren't given the same opportunity to achieve that others had because you looked a certain way or because you came from a certain part of town or because of the texture of your hair was a little different than somebody else. And it's bad that kind of thing happens to anybody, but now you're so filled with bitterness, you're so filled with frustration that every chance you get, you try to hold someone else back and keep them down in the way others kept you down. And you don't see any harm in what you're doing because your frustration and your disappointment has so warped your perception that now you think right is wrong and wrong is right. Tell your neighbor, the only thing I know is right is God's word. Hallelujah. Come on, give a praise right through there for his word. Well, my brothers and sisters, this brings us to a fourth point about jealousy. Jealousy almost always reveals itself in a destructive manner. It can start off with negative talk, little dirty dealing. But if it goes unchecked, I have come by, because I really didn't come to talk to the jealous folk, but I just want to leave a few points for the jealous folk, and I'm going to talk to the folk who are victims of jealousy. Amen. That's who I really want to talk to. Amen. But I need to tell those folk who have manifested that spirit, that demonic spirit of jealousy, that if it goes unchecked, jealousy can lead to terrible tragedy. Where are my Bible readers? Jealousy caused Cain to kill his brother Abel. Jealousy caused Lot to turn his back on his uncle Abraham. Jealousy caused Joseph's brothers to sell him into slavery. And my brothers and sisters, just like jealousy destroyed people and relationships in the days of old, jealousy is still destroying a lot of us today. Some husband and wife are at each other's throats because of jealousy. Some brother, some sister can't stand to be in each other's presence because of jealousy. Somebody's in the hospital or worse yet, in the cemetery because of somebody else's jealousy. And as a pastor, you know, one of the saddest things I see at funerals, I see families that have been together for generations. I see families that have been together for years fall out with each other because mama left this one a rake and mama left this one a water hose, and they fall out over stuff, jealousy. But even more than the destructive nature of a jealous spirit, you need to know that jealousy cuts you off from God. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. I said jealousy cuts you off from God. Now, I got to stand here and be a witness that I have had. Y'all know I'm a big Facebook person. I'm all into Facebook. And I know some stuff I put on there is way out the box, and some of it is in the box. Some, amen. And one of the things that Reverend Garner knows real quick, I know when somebody has unfriended me. Amen. There have been times, Keisha, that I have lost sleep because I wanted to know, why did they unfriend me? But do y'all know what? Eventually, I get over folk unfriending me on Facebook. Oh, my. Oh, my. Amen. Even in the real world, I have had some friends that just quit talking to me for whatever reason. And a lot of times, I come to find out it was because of jealousy. And they quit talking to me, wouldn't have nothing. And it would bother me, Sister Gunn. But do you know what? Eventually, I get over it. But whatever happened. I said, whatever happens, I don't want to lose my relationship with God. And I have come by to remind somebody today that that jealous spirit that you're nurturing, that jealous spirit that you won't put in its proper place, will cut you off from a relationship with God. And I don't know about y'all, but my friend Vicky Weiner said, as long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. Where are my folks who don't mind testifying? I need the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so you need to know that jealousy cuts you off from God. You see, my brothers and sisters, the jealous man or woman sees his life as being in his or her hands. They see their success or failure as ultimately being up to them. But when you have the right outlook on life, then you know that you don't need to be jealous of anybody because God is ultimately in charge. Oh, I wish I had two or three people up in here who are reminded that, yeah, he's in charge. And if God is in charge, then no one can take from you what God has given to you. If God is in charge, then I'm not concerned with what God has blessed somebody else with. I'm focusing all my energy on doing the best I can with what he gave me. But when we take our minds off of that and worry about what somebody else has, we're leaving God completely out of the picture. And whenever we leave God out, we're headed for trouble. We're headed for trouble. When we take our minds off of using what God has given us and get concerned about what God has given somebody else, what we're really doing is discounting the value of what God has given to us. Sometimes we don't get more from God because we haven't handled the little that he gave us in the right way. Amen. Sometimes we don't get the fullness of what God has for us because all the while we've been looking at what he gave somebody else, and we've been jealous of what he did for somebody else, so much so that we've neglected to thank him for what he gave up. And I don't know about y'all, but I believe I got two or three folk up in here who don't mind saying, Pastor, I don't have a mansion on a hill. I don't have a Bentley or a Rolls Royce out there, but he woke me up this morning. That's enough to be thankful for. He put four pieces of bacon on my plate. That's enough to be. He gave me a little suit that I could put on.
that's enough to be, where are my folk who ain't worried about what he's done for somebody else? You've come here today to thank him for what he's done for you. Because do y'all know the truth of the matter? The truth of the matter is that if it had been left up to justice, if it had been left up to what we really deserve, all of us would come in here like that dream you told me about last night. Amen. But thank you, God. God, I thank you that you woke me up. I thank you that you put grits and bacon. I thank you that you've been good to me. Come on and give God praise for what he's done for you. When I think about Jesus's parable of the talents, y'all remember where the master gives one man five talents. He gives the second man two talents, and he gives the third man one talent. And Sister Wesley, the third fellow did nothing with what the master gave him. Though the scripture doesn't come out and say this, in my sanctified imagination, I often wonder if part of the one talent man's problem was that he was so jealous that the five talent and the two talent men got more than he got, that he put no value on what he had. Oh my, oh my, oh my. And he decided that rather than do the best that he could with what he had, he wasn't going to do anything. And the result of his jealous behavior was that it cut him off from the master's favor. For when the master returned, where are my Bible readers? Where am I? When the master returned, the master said, you didn't do with nothing with what I gave you. I'm going to take even that from you. And so I stopped by today to say two things to you. First, if you have a jealous spirit today, you need to work to put your jealousy in check, because jealousy is destructive and it cuts you off from God's blessings. And I think we've made that point. But in the time that I have left, I want to turn my attention from the one that's caught up in a jealous spirit to the one that's being victimized by somebody with a jealous spirit. I want to tell you how you can make it. Amen. Y'all know Reverend Garner likes talking about how you can make it. Amen. My favorite song is Hezekiah Walker, I'll Make It. Amen. And just maybe somebody's here today and you need some encouragement to know that in spite of what they're doing to you, in spite of the ditches that they're digging for you, in spite of the stones that they're throwing at you, and you may feel like giving up and giving in, but I've come by to tell you that before you throw in the towel, you can make it. You can make it. In our text today, we see how a spirit of jealousy can mess up a situation. But we also see how we can overcome a jealous spirit. You see, the man caught up in jealousy in our text is King Saul. And the man being victimized by jealousy is God's servant, David. As we set the scene, it's important to note that while Saul was jealous of David, the truth is that Saul had brought his troubles on himself. Saul had been blessed by God to become king of Israel. God had endowed Saul with certain talents and abilities. The Bible, amen, describes him as a bright young man, humble and filled with self-control. But along the way, let me hear everybody say, along the way. Amen. He got full of himself. He began to think that he was more than he was. Twice Saul disobeyed God, and Saul did what he wanted to do. And ain't it funny, church, amen, how we do what we want to do, and then we got the nerve to get on our knees and ask God to bless it. God bless. Amen. Amen. We do what we want to do and then ask God to bless what we've done, instead of seeking God's face and asking God, Lord, what are your blessings? Come on, how many of you know that if you want the blessings of God, you got to do what he's blessing? Don't just do what you want to do and then get on your knees and tell them, God bless, amen, this mess I've made. God bless, amen, this trouble I've gotten myself into. No, you need to seek God's face and say, Lord, I want to do what you're blessing. What are you blessing? What are you blessing? So twice Saul disobeyed God, did what he wanted to do. And as a result, God told Saul through Samuel that his kingdom would not last and that another would reign in his place. The Bible says that God took his spirit from Saul, and that as a result of the absence of the spirit of God in Saul's life, an evil spirit consumed him. I sometimes wonder how some folk can be so evil. Oh my, I just watched the trial this week, and you know, I wasn't there, I don't know, amen, I know what the jury said, but at the end of the day, I'm scratching my head asking, how can anybody kill their own wife and their own child? But is there anybody here who knows that once the Spirit of God has left you, once God leaves you to your own devices, once you get so full of yourself that you don't consult God, you don't seek his face, the Bible says that God will turn you over to a reprobate mind. You will do stuff that you don't know how you did it. You will do stuff that you can't explain why you do it. And so whatever you do, Lord, don't take your spirit away from me. And that's why if you've got a jealous spirit, you need to get it in check, because God will leave you to yourself. Give him praise in this place. I remind you, and I'm coming to a close, but I remind you that Saul first became aware of David one hot afternoon in the Elah Valley when the young shepherd boy decided to uphold the honor of the Lord and face that Philistine warrior, that giant called Goliath. Y'all know that no man in Saul's army, not even Saul, was willing to face Goliath, but David. Without sword, without shield, without armor, without a helmet. He said, I come to you in the power of the Lord. He was able to bring Goliath down. That day, Saul was so pleased with David that the Bible says that Saul invited David into his house and treated him like one of his sons. Amen, amen. He was all right with Saul because Saul made him look good on the battlefield. But then the first thing that happened after David had these successes in his life is that his popularity grew. The Bible says over in the 18th chapter of 1 Samuel, it tells us that as David was returning home one day from a successful mission for the king, the crowds began to call his name and sing his praises. As David passed by, Beyonce got out there and Destiny's Child got out there. And when David passed, they started singing, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. But the second thing that happened was when Saul heard their singing, his countenance towards David changed. The Bible says from that day forward, Saul tried to destroy Brother David. Now, I want you to understand that David had done no evil to Saul and in fight. In fact, even the singing of these women wasn't disrespectful to Saul. They were merely acknowledging and giving credit to David for what he had done. Amen, 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 amen. But Saul got angry. Saul got paranoid. Look at what he asked. He says, if they ascribe to him 10,000 and give me thousands, then what else could David be after other than he wants my throne? He wants my kingdom. Amen. And it wasn't long after that that Saul tried to take David's life. Twice the Bible says he hurled spears at David's head. He sent men to David's house to kill him. And a little while later, he began to hunt David down to destroy him. Saul was so jealous of David that he forgot about everything else. He used his children. He neglected his kingdom. He lost his mind because of his jealousy of David. Turn to somebody and tell them, baby, don't lose your mind because you're jealous. Oh, no, 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 no. So, amen. Please don't lose your mind. Amen. Yeah, and maybe that's why some folk walking around crazy. They have lost their mind because they looking at how God has blessed somebody else. But I don't know who said it, but I heard somebody say that I'm all right if God